RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our English program of Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus and Use in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That's our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Indonesian humanitarian and evacuation team for Nepal earthquake arrived in Kathmandu, Nepal. Indian-Indonesian fusion in batik exhibition. Sisila Eni Yusita Aprijani was not a victim of Nepal earthquake. Now the news in detail. Indonesian government has sent humanitarian aid and evacuation team for Nepal earthquake at Halim Perdana Kusuma Air Base, Jakarta on Wednesday evening. Prime Minister Foreign Affairs. The humanitarian aid and evacuation team comprising Indonesian Foreign Ministry, Indonesian Air Force National Disaster Management Agency BNPB, Disaster Victim Identification DVI, PKPU National Military Institute, as well as separate journalists from electronic print and online media arrived in Kathmandu, Nepal on Tuesday, April 13, 2015, at around 11:45 p.m. local time. Indonesian Ambassador to Bangladesh Iwan Wirana Atmaja, who was accompanied by Honorary Consul of Indonesia to Nepal, Chandra Prasad Dakhal, in a statement to media in Tribunhat Airport, Kathmandu, Nepal, on Tuesday, said that the assistance provided by Indonesian President Joko Widodo consists of hospital and other logistical assistance. According to Iwan, Minister of Foreign Affairs of Nepal, which was accompanied by the Nepal National Army when symbolically receiving the aid, was touched and thanked for the attention of Indonesian government to the people of Nepal. The assistance is from Indonesian government, from our president. It consists of three kinds of assistance, namely hospitals and logistic support and other relief items. They said they are very grateful for the attention of Indonesian government. And I also mentioned earlier that this is one form of Asia-African cooperation we have just commemorated in Indonesia. And the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Nepal, said that they really appreciate it and really moved by what we have done. Meanwhile, on the same occasion, the commander of humanitarian assistance mission team for Nepal, Lieutenant Colonel Indan Gilan, in his statement said, after taking 12-hour flight from Jakarta, the team was able to hand over 4 tons of humanitarian aids to the Nepalese authorities. We have just landed in Kathmandu after taking approximately 12 hours from Jakarta. We have just handed over the aids to the authorities of Nepal received by the Nepalese army, and they will distribute the aids to the parties in need. Then, due to limited slots here, the Indonesian military TNI team and aircraft will return to Dhaka for standby. Then other forces will be here to help the team of the foreign minister and BNPB to evacuate Indonesian citizens in Nepal.
Terhadap warga negara kita yang berada di Nepal.
Furthermore, Indan Gilan said that Air Force Boeing 737-400 aircraft will be at Dhaka International Airport, Bangladesh, while waiting for Indonesian citizens who will be evacuated from Nepal to Indonesia, scheduled to take place on May 3, 2015. Adelaide, the Indonesian team was scheduled to arrive in Kathmandu, Nepal on Tuesday at around 8 o'clock EM local time, but it was stuck at the International Airport Dhaka, Bangladesh for 4 hours because Indian government withdrew his flying permits on his air territory, so it needed renegotiation. Based on data from the Directorate of Protection of Indonesian Citizens and Legal Entities, Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs, There are 95 Indonesians in Nepal, consisting of 30 people who reside in Nepal, and 65 others are tourists. Of the 65 citizens, 42 of them had been contacted and are in good condition. 10 others have not been able to be contacted, and the remaining 13 people were outside Nepal. Until Tuesday, 30 of April, Nepal earthquake measuring 7.9 on Richter scale centered between Kathmandu and Fort Kara, Nepal, has caused 5,500 people died. Thousands of others are injured and damaged infrastructure such as roads, bridges, and other public facilities. The Embassy of India in Jakarta held the opening of an exhibition of Bhati Beyond Borders by Sema Agarwal Hadind, an Indian designer who is also a career diplomat and humanitarian at Alun-Alun, Indonesia, on Tuesday afternoon. Indian Ambassador to Indonesia, His Excellency Gurjit Singh, stated that this exhibition shows cultural link between India and Indonesia.
So that kind of interaction embassy would like to promote. So that is why we wanted to bring her into Festival of India, because she is like a true Sahabat India, you know. So if you see all these things, they are made batik by Indonesian method, but the motive is Indian. So it's very interesting. This link is very important.
In the exhibition, designer Sema Agarwal Hardin revealed how she fused a traditional Indonesian art font with her own Indian cultural heritage.
I feel like batik in itself is a combination of Indian and Indonesian culture. As the ambassador was explaining, although batik may have been done in India centuries ago and may have traveled to Indonesia from India originally, but the style of doing batik was so different. Indonesia embraced it and turned it into a mega world heritage, which they can stand so proud and say that this is ours. What I'm trying to do is to bring that culture alive through the Indian garment of the sari. So that's where the fusion comes.
This batik exhibition is open until May 7, is part of a Sahabat India Festival of India in Indonesia, is taking place until June with Yoga Festival on the first International Yoga Day as the peak event. A Mount Haikara Empress in Nepal, Cecilia Aniyusita Apriyani from Kartini Adventurer, who accompanied for doctors at Mafaduk University of Sultan Agung Semarang Central Java, was in the force of Indonesian evacuation Kathmandu Guest House, Nepal. The hiker, who was coached by Vita when given testimony in the evacuation post Kathmandu Guest House, Nepal on Friday, 1st of May, said that she went down from the top of Everest. She was not a victim of the earthquake with a magnitude of 7.9 on Richter scale, but she returned to Kathmandu because she wanted to help evacuate other Indonesian citizens. According to Vita, as long as she was in Lukla, which becomes the gateway to the top of Everest, there were no activities that could be done because they were just waiting to be evacuated.
Mereka juga udah enggak enak sebenarnya dari konselor dari
They Nepal also felt unjoyful from the consular affairs of Nepal because we could not immediately go down. But indeed, we were not victims. We wanted to quickly go down. We were not the victims, but we wanted to know what we could help here. The problem was that if in Lukla, we could not do anything instead of waiting when we could give help to Kathmandu. That's all. At least we could do something there. Furthermore, Vita explained that the number of casualties in Lukla was not too many, but most of the mount hikers and guides were injured and suffered from bone fractures. Therefore, Vita and four other doctors consisting of Ahmad Novel Prabudi, Eko Prasetyo, and Minat Mustar decided to return from Lukla towards Kathmandu because they could not do anything and did not have access to hot water in the snowy area, since the electricity was very limited. Corruption Eradication Commission KPK spokesman Priharsa Nugraha said that KPK employee would gather at KPK headquarters in Jakarta on Friday following the arrest of KPK investigator Novel Baswedan by the police. The employees gathered at around 8 a.m. local time, including KPK leader Johan Budi. The police arrested Novel at around 12:20 a.m. at his private residence under an arrest warrant issued by the National Police Criminal Investigation Unit, Bareskrim, for skipping police questioning twice. The police charged Nopil with the 2004 shooting of Swallow's Nest thief in Bengkulu. Although Nopil was not the shooter, the police said Nopil was still implicated as he was the chief of Bengkulu City Police Detective Department at the time. The police have questioned Corruption Eradication Commission investigator Nopil Baswedan without legal representation, one of Nopil's lawyers, Bahrain said on Friday. Bahrain maintained that Nopil's lawyers have arrived at the National Police Criminal Investigation Directorate Bareskrim headquarters at 1 a.m. local time, but were not denied entry as on duty officer claimed not to have a key to the interrogation room. Nopil, who was a police detective, was arrested at around midnight at his house in connection to a 2004 torture case when he was stationed at the Bengkulu police. The 2004 case resolves around Nopil's then subordinates who allegedly tried to extract information from a suspect who subsequently died. Nopil assumed responsibility and was harshly reprimanded. Bareskrim has been targeting Nopil since he started an investigation into alleged corruption in the procurement of driving simulators at the National Police Traffic Police Courts, Korlantas, in Palfin, then Inspectorate General Joko Susilo, who headed the corps. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. State-run oil and gas firm PT Pertamina has increased Pertamina's fuel price by 200 rupiah front, 8,600 to 8,800 per liter beginning on Friday, May 1, 2015. Pertamina Marketing Director Ahmad Bamban said on Thursday, April 30, 2015, that the price hike was due to an increase in the means of Platts Singapore MOPS. Based on Pertamina's circular letter sent to gas stations in Jakarta, Banten, and West Java, prices for other fuels such as Pertamax Flux and Pertamina DEX also rose to 10,050 rupiah and 11,900 rupiah per liter. The increase in MOP was reflected by the increase of fuel prices set by PT Shell Indonesia. The price for Shell Super, which is equivalent to Pertamax, increased from 8,700 rupiah to 8,950 rupiah per liter on April 28, 2015. Previously, Pertamina decided that the price for non-subsidized fuel premium in Java and Bali was to remain at around 7,400 rupiah per liter despite increased MOPS. In addition, the government announced that the premium price outside Java and Bali would remain at 7,300 rupiah per liter since the price in the international market was not relatively the same as in the previous period. The last item, thousands of workers from various organizations congregated at the Hotel Indonesian Cycle Centre Jakarta for a long march to State Palace to mark the May Day declaration on Friday. They are from the Congress of Indonesian Labour Union Alliance, KASBI, Indonesian Labour Union Confederation, KSPI, the Independent Journalist Alliance, AJI, and Indonesian Prosperous Labour Union Confederation, KSBSI. They also carried banners bearing slogans such as "No to privatization of state-owned companies," "Not to imperialism," "Not to cheap labor," "Not to price hikes," and demanding improvement in the public welfare, among others. May Day or Labor Day, which falls on May 1st, was first observed in Indonesia as a public holiday in 2014. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, a commentary today entitled "Law Must Be Upheld." Anjing menggonggong kapila berlalu, which means a dog is barking, caravan passes through, is a popular proverb in Indonesia that describes an action or decision that must be carried out, even though it is protested by other parties. This proverb is not always negatively connotative, including the standpoint taken by Indonesian government to keep carrying out the death execution of 8 convicts of drug cases on Wednesday morning at 00:25 West Indonesian time. Indonesian law has stipulated that with extraordinary crime conducted by someone, they must face capital sentence. The legal decision must be respected by all parties in regardless country originality and status. However, the reality is very different. There are still certain parties that want to influence legal decision against the convicts of their role relating to drug cases. Indonesian government has voiced a lot of protests both before and after the executions. In fact, the UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon spoke up against the execution of 8 inmates' drugs in Indonesia. According to Ban Ki-moon, the death penalty has no place anymore in the 21st century. He also condemned the executions that had been carried out by Indonesia on Wednesday. Ban Ki-moon urged the government of Indonesia to reconsider all the possibilities of the death penalty. Australian Prime Minister Tony Abbott decided on Wednesday, 29 April 2015, to withdraw his ambassador in Jakarta after two Australians, Miran Sukumaran and Andrew Chant, were executed in Nusa Kambangan, Cilacap, Central Java. In addition, he dared to say that today was a gloomy period of diplomatic relations between Indonesia and Australia. The statement of Prime Minister Abbott was only to boost public support amid the declining popularity of the government, which was often criticized by the opposition group. Even Prime Minister Abbott used to offer a prisoner exchange, which was regarded as an unwise standpoint. According to Australian Foreign Minister Yuli Bishop, Australian Ambassador to Indonesia Paul Gripson will return to Australia this weekend for consultation with the government in regard to the future relationship between Australia and Indonesia. French President Francois Hollande strongly opposed the execution of Serge Atloyou as a French citizen who was shot dead on drug case. Even President Hollande threatened that a cooperation plan that has been discussed between himself and President Joko Widodo during the G20 summit in November 2014 could be delayed. The threat of President Hollande was not wise because he has intervened diplomatic affairs and legal ones. As a consequence, President Hollande has been criticized by his own citizens in the country. A television station in France shows that the majority of French people supported the execution and criticized the administration of President Francois Hollande. The attitude of some French citizens was praiseworthy because Atloyou was a greedy man who already understood the dangers of his actions and all risks. Remembering narcotic dealers in Indonesia must face that penalty, but Atloyou was brave to do so. The death execution has been carried out. Whatever the risk, as Indonesia must be ready to deal with them. Only Mary Jane from the Philippines is waiting to be executed. It must be remembered that the law must be upheld. Listener, that's commentary today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past as recorded in history. May 1st, 1963. Handover of West Irian from United Nations Temporary Executive Authority, UNTEA, to Indonesian government as the first event of today in history. When Indonesia proclaimed its independence on August 17, 1945, Indonesia claimed the entire territory of the Netherlands East Indies, including West Irian. However, the Dutch believe the region still included in the Dutch Kingdom's territory. The Dutch government then began preparations to make Papua as an independent state. But the Indonesian government opposed it, and Papua then became a disputed area between Indonesia and the Netherlands. the case then discussed in various international forums. Since then, the Indonesian government focused on struggle for liberation of West Irian in the military sphere. The result of the New York Agreement dated on August 15, 1962 stated, Government of West Irian submitted to the United Nations, represented by the United Nations Temporary Executive Authority. The agreement signed by Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs and the Netherlands Foreign Affairs Minister, Dr. J. Loons, represented by the Dutch Ambassador to the United Nations, Dr. Van Rooyen. On December 31, 1962, Dutch royal flag was taken down and replaced by the UN flag and the red and white flag. Since at that time, the Dutch rule has ended in West Irian. On May 1, 1963, it has occurred the transfer of power in West Irian from UNTA to Indonesian government, which was initiated by raising Indonesian flag, replacing the United Nations Temporary Executive Authority flag. On May 1, 1963, James Whittaker, the first American man who conquered Mount Everest. James Whittaker was an American mountain climber. As a member of the Mount Everest expedition in 1963, led by Norman Darenforth, he was the first climber from the United States to reach the peak of Mount Everest, and it occurred on May 1, 1963. Although running out of oxygen, the expedition team led by Norman Darenforth, along with Sherpa Nawangkombu, continued to reach the top. Once there, Whittaker plumbed the United States flag. On May the 1st is commemorated as the World Labor Day or May Day. International Workers' Day, also known as Labor Day in some places, is a celebration of laborers and the working classes that is promoted by the international labor movement, anarchists, socialists, and communists, and occurs every year on May Day, 1st of May, an ancient European spring holiday. The date was chosen for International Workers' Day by the Second International to commemorate the Haymarket Affair, which occurred in Chicago on May 4, 1886. Being a traditional European spring celebration, May Day is a national public holiday in many countries, but in only some of those countries, it is celebrated specially as Labor Day or International Workers' Day. Some countries celebrate a Labor Day on other dates significant to them, such as the United States, which celebrate Labor Day on the first Monday of September. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Welcome to Focus. Today we'll talk about death execution of drug convicts. Despite it is opposed from various parties both inside and outside of the country, Indonesian government finally realizes its promise to implement death execution to the convicts of drug and hazardous drug or narcoba. 8 of the 9 death sentences of drug cases were executed simultaneously at Nusa Kambangan Penitentiary, Cilacap, Central Java, on Wednesday morning at 0025 p.m. All the 8th death row inmates are Muran Sukumaran and Andrew Chan from Australia, Martin Anderson from Ghana, Rahim Al-Salami, Sylvester Obikwi, and Oakwoodley Oyatansi from Nigeria, Rodrigo Gularte from Brazil, and Zainal Abidin from Indonesia. Meanwhile, the execution of Mary James from Philippines is postponed. Vice President Yusuf Kalla said the executions were carried out after the convicts cannot prove their innocence. Yusuf Kalla explained the court has given a chance to 5 times for the death convicts to defend as much as possible, but it is not used until the execution should be carried out. Meanwhile, the Attorney General and the President stated that the legal process has been implemented through 5 stages of the court, starting from the District Court, High Court, Supreme Court, as well as 2 times judicial reviews. After the death sentence imposed by the court, then the government can no longer interfere in the affairs related to the legal process. Yusuf Kala believes the court decided to sentence the convicts by a sense of justice without being influenced by anyone, including the government. Related to the matter, Attorney General H.M. Prasetyo evaluates the second execution of the death penalty was better, more orderly, and more perfect than the first phase. Prasetyo, after visiting the location of the executions in Panaluan Shooting Square, Nusa Kambangan, Cilacap, Central Java, on Wednesday, said the execution of death row inmates is not encouraging and not a fun job, but in order to save Indonesian nations from drug crimes. He considered the execution not to fight against the concerned countries, but to the drug-related crime, which causes very terrible and threatening the survival of the Indonesian nations. Prasetyo asserted Indonesia will act decisively against drug crimes. Meanwhile, an international law expert said on Wednesday that the government must remind Australia of the Lombok Treaty, which requires both countries to respect each other's sovereignty and territorial integrity. University of Indonesia's Professor Hikmahanto Juwana made the comments to respond to Australian Prime Minister Tony Abbott's statement that there would be consequences if Indonesia went ahead with the executions of Andri Chan and Miuran Sukumaran, 2 ringleaders of the so-called Bali 9 drug trafficking group. Signed in 2008, the Lombok Treaty underlines that Indonesia and Australia respect and support each other's sovereignty, territorial integrity, national unity, and political independence. The treaty establishes a modern framework for Australia and Indonesia cooperation in the field of defense, law enforcement, counterterrorism, maritime security, and disaster response. Hikmahanto moreover said, escorted by Antara News Agency in Jakarta, one thing the Indonesian government must defend and protect is the good relationships between people of the 2 countries. Indonesia must prioritize the relationships with the Australian people because it is the Australian people that have a right to change their government in the future. He said that in every change of government in Australia, there had always been a fresh approach to the international relations. That was today's focus.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. Indonesian government has sent humanitarian aid and evacuation team for Nepal earthquake at Halim Perdana Kusuma Air Base, Jakarta on Wednesday evening. By Minister of Foreign Affairs, the humanitarian aid and evacuation team comprising Indonesian Foreign Ministry, Indonesian Air Force National Disaster Management Agency BNPB, Disaster Victim Identification DVE, PKPU National Humanitarian Institution, as well as several journalists from electronic print and online media arrived in Kathmandu, Nepal on Tuesday, April 30, 2015. The Embassy of India in Jakarta held the opening for exhibition of Batik Beyond Borders by Sema Agarwal Hardin, an Indian designer who is also a career diplomat and humanitarian, at Alun-Alun, Indonesia on Tuesday afternoon. Indian Ambassador to Indonesia, His Excellency Gurjit Singh, stated that this exhibition shows cultural link between India and Indonesia. A Mount Hiker Empress in Nepal, Cecilia Annie Yosita Aprijani from Kartini Adventurer, who accompanied four doctors at Mafadok University of Sultan Agung Semarang Central Java, was in the post of Indonesian evacuation Kathmandu Guest House, Nepal. The hiker, who was coached by Vita when giving testimony in the evacuation post Kathmandu Guest House, Nepal on Friday, said that she went down from the top of Everest. She was not a victim of the earthquake with a magnitude of 7.9 on Richter scale. Corruption Eradication Commission KPK spokesperson Priharsa Nugraha said that KPK employees would gather at the KPK headquarters in Jakarta on Friday following the arrest of KPK investigator Novel Baswedan by the police. The police have questioned Corruption Eradication Commission investigator Novel Baswedan without legal representation, one of Novel's lawyers, Bahrain, said on Friday. Bahrain maintained that Novel's lawyers had arrived at the National Police Criminal Investigation Directorate Bahrain headquarters at 1 a.m. local time, but were denied entry as on-duty officer claimed not to have a key to the integration room. State-run oil and gas firm PT Pertamina has increased Pertamax fuel price by 200 rupiah from 8,600 to 8,800 rupiah per liter beginning on Friday, May 1, 2015. Pertamina Marketing Director Ahmad Bamban said on Tuesday that the price hike was due to increase in the means of flat Singapore MOPS based on the Pertamina circular letter sent to gas stations in Jakarta, Banten and West Java. Prices for other fuels such as Pertamax Plus and Pertamina DEX also rose to 10,050 rupiah and 11,900 rupiah per liter. Thousands of workers from various organizations congregated at the Hotel Indonesian Cycle Central Jakarta for a long march to the State Palace to mark the May Day celebration on Friday. They are from the Congress of Indonesia Labor Union Alliance, KASBI, Indonesia Labor Union Confederation, KSPI, Independent Journalist Alliance, AJI, and Indonesian Professional Labor Union Confederation, KSBSI. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention three tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? 9. Please write your opinion in brief about Indonesia in 500 words. Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
You're still tuning in to the Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta. And listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder. Thank you.
Hello, listener. It is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. I'm Dalat Pane. In today's edition, I will invite you to travel to East Java Province. So stay tuned. Listener, Trenggalek is a region in East Java Province. The region has many resting places and tourist attractions with beautiful unspoiled and has not been changed by the circumstances of the times, for example caves, beaches and mountains, which are beautiful. Because of its location, which is directly adjacent to the Indian Ocean, Trenggalek is awarded a row of beautiful beaches. One of them is Pelang Beach. Unlike the other beaches in East Java, in Pelang Beach you can watch a harmonious blend between beaches, waterfalls, caves to the heavily wooded hills. Trenggalek Pelang Beach is located in the Wonocolo Village, Panggul Subdistrict, Trenggalek Regency. From downtown Trenggalek, you can travel as far as 56 kilometers. To reach this beach, you will through a road full of sharp curves, coupled with a steep climb and descent of the gorge on the left and right of the road. To enter the Pelang Beach area, you have to pay an admission fee for 7,500 rupees for adults and 5,000 rupees or less than $1 for children. Before reaching the sand beach, you must first pass a bridge over a river or fresh water. On arrival at this beach, you will see a coastal area of approximately 10 hectares with a coastline of 2 kilometers. Pelang Beach panorama is second to none with its shiny black sand. The waves on the beach are fairly quiet, so it is quite safe to swim here. Not far from the beach, you will find a beautiful rolling hills. Enjoying the beautiful views of the beach from the hills is the best way to discover its charm. There are viewing towers that will allow you to enjoy the panoramic Pelang Beach. The scenery around the beach is unique, with a large expanse of rocks on the shore and tiny islands on the sea. In addition to the beach as the main destination, the tourist area has another exciting destination, namely Pelang Beach Waterfall. The waterfall is about 300 meters from the beach. The waterfall is named as Grobogan Sewu. The 25-meter-high waterfall is so amazing and fresh because it is surrounded by the woods. The visitors who come usually take time to bathe and play around the water. The waterfall is believed to be efficacious to make someone young and to cure disease. Besides the waterfall, you can also go to the Pelang Cave. It is about 100 meters from the beach. Pelang Beach tourist area also equipped with the facilities such as gazebo, bridge for tours, local rooms, parking lots, restrooms, and so forth. Thank you. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Pelang Beach. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topic. Sampai jumpa and bye-bye.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Miscellany with me, Rahma, from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today's edition presents you International Labor Day. Labor Day is celebrated on May 1st as May Day. May Day was born from a series of struggle from workers to gain economic political control of industrial rights. Development of industrial capitalism in early 19th century marked economic politic drastic change, particularly in capitalist countries in West Europe and the US. How about Labor Day celebration in Indonesia? Jakarta is a place where laborers converge every year. There is no special celebration on the International Labor Day in Indonesia. Although May 1st is set as national holiday in Indonesia and some countries in the world, laborers consider International Labor Day as one turning point in their life. It is the day when all demands on the welfare of laborers can be loudly voiced in front of the State Palace in Jakarta. The struggle of laborers to get their rights is often regarded as something extraordinary. Action to commemorate May Day that belongs to subversive activity because May Day is often linked with communist ideology. This is what happened in the New Order. This connotation is certainly inappropriate because most of countries in the world which follow non-communist ideology and even anti-communist principles set May 1st as Labor Day and make it a national holiday. In 2015, International Labor Day in Indonesia is colored with action of laborers again who will march from Hotel Indonesia traffic circle to the National Monument or Monas. During the celebration of International Labor Day, main roads in Jakarta will be closed. Jakarta provincial government has prepared the National Monument Yard as a place where they can gather. To anticipate riot and manage traffic during labor demonstration, police has prepared 18,307 personnel. Peace should be put forward in the commemoration of International Labor Day. Happy International Labor Day. Hopefully, the expected welfare can be realized. Well, for a listener, that ends today's miscellany on the International Labor Day. I'm Rahma. Thanks for listening. Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? 9. Please write your opinion in brief about Indonesia in 500 words. Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back with me, Rahma, in our regular segment, Music Corner, which introduces you Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. Today's edition presents you an Indonesian female dangdut singer, Christina Iswandari. To begin the program, here is a song by Christina Iswandari entitled Bila Salah. Happy listening. listener, Christina Iswandari was born in Jakarta, May 8, 1976. Since she was a child, Christina has loved singing. She has performed on stage in the age of 12. After graduating from SMA PGRI 1 Senior High School in Pemalang, Central Java, she moved to Jakarta with her parents. Although she often sang pop and rock songs, she was often offered to sing dangdut songs. Christina, who could not sing dangdut, took initiative to learn cengkok, or vocal style. She started recording in 1998 with debut album called Berakhir Pula. Well, listener, now let's listen to a song entitled Berakhir Pula by Christina. Check this one out. Listener, the song Berakhir Pula presented by Christina was not a success because it was sold around 50,000 copies only. However, it was quite a big number for a newcomer. After singing a song, Jatuh Bangun, Christina started enjoying fame. This album was sold by hundreds of thousands of copies. The emergence of Christina gives a new impression in dangdut music. She has received various awards, including Best Female Dangdut Artist in AMI Sharp Awards 2002, MTV Dangdut in 2003, and Best Dangdut Artist in 2004. Well, listener, to end the program, here are more songs by Christina, entitled Jatuh Bangun. And enjoy the song, and I'll see you again in another Dangdut edition of Music Corner.
Thank you.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id. Or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.